come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will discuss one of these two topics. My next guest is the show's investing guru. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful and profitable financial advice. Ken is a successful investment manager, an entrepreneur, an award-winning author, an active philanthropist, and a renowned collector. He's the president of Winans International, an investment company and fund manager. He's a regular guest on various TV and radio shows, including CBS affiliate KNX 1070 right here in Los Angeles. Ken got his bachelor's degree in business economics at the University of San Diego. He got his master's degree in finance from the University of San Francisco. Joining us from the Bay Area. Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
Bill, I am doing great. How are you?
Terrific, and welcome back to the show. There's so much to talk about. As we approach the presidential election, business and politics, investing, they all become inextricably linked. And September is typically a really bad month for the stock market. Now, adding to that, we've got several key events that have happened this month. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting that would happen this week. The German courts deciding whether the European bailout is constitutional or not constitutional. Everybody's worried about the fiscal cliff here in the United States. And, of course, we can't forget the presidential elections in November. I want to start with the Fed decision this week, though, because that is fresh on everybody's mind. The Fed enacted more stimulus in an extension of Operation Twist. It's going to buy $40 billion of mortgages per month in an attempt to foster recovery in the real estate market. Now, this is an open-ended purchase. The purchases will continue until the Fed is satisfied that economic conditions, primarily unemployment, improve. And the Fed left the funds rate unchanged at nearly zero. So let's start at the beginning. Is this a good or a bad thing?
It depends on who you want to ask. If you are somebody who is a big believer in very heavy-handed government policies, hoping that it by itself will really begin to allow the economy to have some traction, then you're very happy about it. If you're a stock investor, you're happy because the markets are up on this rally. But remember that the rallies that we've been having, these are liquidity-driven rallies in the market, not necessarily that we're in a glowing economic situation. But here's the problem. We all know about the debt clock. We all saw it during the Republican convention. You know, the Federal Reserve does not have money that grows on trees. It has to use printed money to buy all these mortgages. So it is a bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul and hoping that this will in itself help accelerate the housing market, which you talked about, I know we've talked about it before, Bill. We cannot forget, when you look at the unemployment rate that we have today, one of the numbers that they really don't ever dive into is how many of those people are either formerly of the construction industry or something related to real estate. I believe if you dug into it, you'd find a huge number of that underemployed and unemployed people were people who were making pretty good money during the housing boom. So we have to be aware that that is what they're trying to do. I hope the government's not trying to reignite another housing bubble, because we do not need that again.
No, we certainly don't. My guest is Ken Winans. Well, Ken, here's the puzzler for me. As a somewhat outside observer watching all of this happen, we had QE1, followed by QE2, followed by Operation Twist, and now this extension of Operation Twist. If any of this stimulus was going to work, wouldn't it have worked by now?
Depends who you ask. The people who are very much in favor of this say, well, look, it kept us from going into another depression, so therefore it worked. Those of us who are believers in Milton Friedman's teachings would say, well, you know what? We've tried this before. We tried this during the New Deal of the Great Depression, and I know many people don't want to acknowledge that, but truthfully, it was World War II, and basically the U.S. coming out on top is what got us out of the Great Depression. It was not the New Deal, or largely not because of the New Deal. And then, of course, we had the Great Society spending programs under Lyndon Johnson in the 60s that led to a very lengthy economic malaise. So, you know, the people who like to point to big government interaction in this, they really do have a tough time convincing those of us who keep going back and looking at history for answers. It doesn't seem to work out well.
No, it doesn't. But, Ken, I'm going to blow the whistle and cry foul here, because the people who say it kept us from slipping into a recession, that is counterfactual arguments. We don't know if that would have happened or wouldn't have happened, because it didn't. So let's deal with facts. We are now into this to the order of about $3 trillion that the Fed has created since 2008. So the bigger question is, we are in it. That is a fact. How is the Fed going to unwind this at the end? What's the plan there?
Bill, you know what? I don't think anybody has a plan for that. I honestly believe that they're playing. I mean, I think it's too bad that election years have this much impact on economic policy, because keep in mind, TARP, if 2008 had not been a major election year, I happen to believe TARP probably would have been handled much differently. We wouldn't have been throwing money without checking to make sure people weren't going to be bonused out in December. But they were just so eager to make sure the election ran smoothly that things just seemed to be skipped. Unfortunately, we have, I think, some of that happening here, and probably not as frantic, but certainly I hope the Fed is aware that some of us are going to say, is this not politically motivated?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, Ken, because that was going to be my next question to you. Is so close to the election, is this a political decision?
You know, that's where it certainly has a hint of it. I mean, I don't work for the Fed. You and I are not privy to the inner sanctums of that institution, but it certainly does make you wonder. Now, can you also turn around on the, you know, a pundit can say, well, yeah, but look at how bad the jobs growth was at the last report. The Fed, consistent with what they've done since we had the Great Recession, is doing what it usually does. So you're going to have this jockeying back and forth. But to go back to I want to just go back here real quick. I believe the government's honestly hoping that we can grow our way out of this. That's how we got out of it after the Second World War. We grew our way out. The problem is we are not that fresh young kid anymore. We have a lot of competition in the world. So unless we come up with some unbelievably new technologies that blow the doors off of our global competition, I don't see how America could grow its way out of its debt, and that's what you would have to have happen. So here we are. It's kind of sad in a way when you can look and see the failures of these kind of spending policies in Europe. You can see what's happened through Europe's embracing of socialism, and yet it seems like we're going down that same exact path with what we're doing now.
My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International, an investment firm, and he is the show's financial and investing guru. Ken, I'm glad you brought up growth, because I think growth is fundamental to this. And as we went through the political season, we've now had both the Democratic and Republican conventions. What in either of those platforms really addressed the issue of growth that you just talked about? I didn't hear anything, and perhaps I was asleep at the switch. Well, what did you hear?
You're 100% right. I mean, if you went back and checked the transcripts, I don't think you found the word growth used all that often. What I did find, though, is where, at least with the Republican convention, there was the talk about, look, we need to make it easier for business people to hire more people, which is a backhanded way of saying they need to grow more, where they need more people to help maintain their operations. There was a lot of talk about, you know, with the amount of regulation that we have on the books, is all of it necessary? Take the great state of California. We all know that there's tremendous job loss here. And it's also important to note, as a historian, for those of us who do remember the Haiti days of the aerospace industry in California, that was a very big generator of high-paying jobs, you know, marvelous technologies, that today our aerospace industry in California is a fraction of what it used to be. And there lies almost a comparison to the Rust Belt in the 1970s, when the Midwest lost its steel industry and a big part of its automotive industry. There are parallels like this. The Achilles heel in all this is that I don't see how you can have a place that has no pollution and have healthy economics. There's going to be some pollution wherever you're going to have jobs.
And a lot of ecologists would argue with that, but that's an interesting point. My guest is Ken Winans. Ken, just back on this growth for one more second, if we can. Apple introduced its iPhone 5 this week. Mm-hmm. It's expected to sell 10 million units in the first 10 days. And some economists have said that that's going to add perhaps as much as 0.5% to our GDP here in this particular fiscal quarter. Why is it that the government can't look at that example of an innovative product stimulating the economy and connect the dots?
I agree with everything you said, even though it will be interesting to see if it has that much impact on GDP. And you know what? What a wonderful example. Here's a California employer, California founded, It is the best of what we do. And yet, if you went and looked, probably Apple is catching major heck from regulators, state and federal. There, I mean, we all know what was going on in China not too long ago. This is a company that does a reasonably good job of self-policing itself, has a very high moral standard, whose employees are treated very well. I mean, all the things that you would hope would be embraced as truly a great American success story. And yet, you find that when other companies do want to try to do that in California, it's made very difficult.
Yeah, it's very sad. My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. Ken, I'm going to change it up on you just a little bit here because I want to change tracks and talk about the fiscal cliff because that's looming large right now. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty apparent that neither party or either branch of the government, legislative or executive, is going to act on the fiscal cliff before the election. Now, when it comes time to actually do something, there are going to be a mere 56 calendar days after the election, and that translates into only 20 congressional working days to enact some sort of solution. If sequestration and the tax increase is kicked in, it's going to mean the largest tax hike in U.S. history, $440 billion tax increase and $108 billion in across-the-board cuts.
Yeah.
So the American Action Forum actually estimates that this is going to result in a 6% decline in our GDP and a loss of 10 million jobs. And we're starting to see this because as we get closer to that fiscal cliff, defense contractors, companies that rely on government contracts, are going to start sending out next month layoff notices saying, we can't be certain about the future. We're going to have to hedge our bets. You are a candidate for a layoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the stock market's near an all-time high. The bond markets are at their levels. How can the investors be so sanguine about all of this? Why aren't we starting to see more reaction in the stock and the bond market to the fiscal cliff?
Well, it's what's driving this rally. This is very much a global liquidity rally, probably the best way of coining it. And the analogy I often use is imagine you're some member of an oil family in the Middle East, and you were just given your $1 billion royalty check from all the nice high-priced oil that's being sold around the world. Are you going to stick that money in Europe? Probably not. China slowing down, you're not quite sure you want to stick it there. So what you do is you're literally sticking in the least of the nasties. You're sticking in the one place that is, A, big enough to handle it, two, still has good liquidity, and three, just again, yeah, it's not great. It has problems, but yet it looks better than some of the other places in the world. But let me go back on what you just said about the fiscal cliff. There's actually a couple of fiscal cliffs that we're not even really addressing. This is almost like looking at a mountain range. You're having the federal fiscal cliff. You also have the fact that California is going to have an election to vote in one of the largest state income tax increases, which would make California one of the highest tax states in the country. Then you throw on top of it, I think that there's going to be continued municipal cliffs. We know what's going on in Stockton and San Bernardino. Not to be Meredith Whitney, but I think that to think that you're not going to have other municipalities not going the same path next year is dreaming. We're going to have that. So investors are going to be very challenged next year, and you are right. I mean, it would not take much to have this recovery become very fragile and turn south very quickly. Bill, we don't think about this, but what you said about company employers and what they're doing, we know that there's a lot of corporate cash sitting on the sidelines. It's for the same reason it's sitting on the sidelines. It's not knowing what to do. Companies are playing their cards very close to the vest. They're being very careful right now where they deploy their capital. And unfortunately, I think that some of that capital is going to go really towards stock buybacks and maybe dividends more so than going toward employment if we're making employment more difficult. But it goes back to even with small businesses. When you're a small business owner and you are perceived as somebody who is, I quote unquote, rich because you make over $250,000 a year, you're just going to turn to technology to do more of your firm's operations. You're not going to hire more people. So until we resolve that and change that psychology, you are not going to have meaningful changes in unemployment.
Well, my guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. So, Ken, that begs the bigger question. Is our unemployment cyclical unemployment, or is it structural unemployment that is never going to come back?
I don't want to use the term never because, as Wernher von Braun, the great rocket scientist, once said, he said, use the term impossible with the greatest of caution. And so I'm always going to be a bit optimistic that just as it was dark and bleak in the 70s or in the 1930s, and it didn't look like there was any way out, we did, as great Americans, we were able to find a way out. But with that said, we are going to have to really look at this long and hard and be willing to acknowledge that there is always going to be some unemployment in this country, that there are going to have to be people who are going to have to be retrained. And by the way, I know we don't all want to acknowledge it, but we found great success as a nation with mobility, people's willingness to go where the work is. And unfortunately, we've lost some of that. People don't want to leave. They don't want to leave California. Hey, if the jobs are not here, you got to go where the jobs are. And by the way, that also means global opportunities. Somebody here who's going to school here might find there's opportunities in Australia or Canada or Mexico. You have to go where the opportunities lie. But with that being said, I hope that it is not going to end up structural unemployment like the way we have it in Europe. That would be devastating to this country and unfortunately very hard to overcome.
That it would. My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. We're talking all things financial, all things economic. Ken, if you just, I'm going to pin you to the wall here. If you're looking at one asset class right now to put your money into, where would that be?
Oh, easy. One word. Bonds. And I'm not talking about treasuries or municipals. I'm talking about corporate bonds. They have been in a roaring bull market for the good part of the last 15 years. The other reason for it, and a reason that often is not discussed, is just the simple fact that the baby boomers are aging, the baby boomers are retiring. Money management 101 is when you have a retired client, they need income. They're not willing to put risk in the stock market. They're not willing to risk things in speculative real estate ventures. They need the income. So I think the bond market will continue to rally in that area. I mean, you know, there does come a point where all markets do get overpriced, but when you can still find good corporate bonds that are paying average annual yields of above 6% and you're not having to go out 30 years, you're going out maybe 5 or 6 years in maturity, I think that's a good place to look right now.
And we're going to have to leave it there. My guest is Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. Ken, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your company, where would you direct them to go?
Go to Ken Winans, W-I-N-A-N-S.com. My company's name is Winans International. That website is winansinternational.com.
Oh, that is great. Ken, it's always a delight. Thank you for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.